One, and welcome back to Jola Speaks. I trust you're keeping well and keeping safe. God is amazing. Today, we are going to be speaking about David's, the appointed time for him becoming king of Israel. At this point, as we've read in the past, he was in Hebron, he was king over Hebron, and which was inside in Judah as well, but then he was not king of Israel. And God's promise to him was he would become, sorry, God's appointment for him was he would become the king of Israel. And so here we see, and we'll look at the series of events that happened, you know, just before David became king of Israel. And it's like the appointed time when everything was set, things began to fall in place. So we would read the Bible in unusual fashion and we will discuss afterwards. I'll encourage you to join me reading your Bible. But before I do, I will say a quick prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you for using us as a vessel. Thank you for the purpose of Jola Speaks to help and people grow in their faith and in their understanding of you. I pray that, Lord, you help me to deliver this message as you put in my heart, that people will go back with clear insights and things to ponder on about you as they understand, and you unveil yourself to them. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. I pray that every veil in anyone's eyes, Lord, will be removed. That, Lord, they will begin to understand and go in depth and be encouraged to go deeper still in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Help them hear a word from you directly to them and restoration. In the mighty name of Jesus I pray, amen. So I'm reading from Second Samuel. I will start from chapter 3 and I would read from verses 6 to 11. And I've titled this episode, At the Appointed Time. At the appointed time. So I quickly read. I'm reading the NIV version, and I will also encourage you, please join me in reading your Bible. There's something that happens when you read yourself. It makes things stick better, so that when you need them, you know, in times where you are trying to recall a verse, it comes much easier to you as Holy Spirit reminds you of His Word. So I read. So 2 Samuel 3, 6 to 11. Now, Abner goes over to David. During the war between the house of Saul and the house of David, you know, even though Saul had died, his house was still in the throne. So Ish-bosheth, his son, one of his sons, you know, not the strongest, one of his sons, was on the throne at that point in time. And the house of David, Abner had been strengthening his position in the house of Saul. Now, Saul had a concubine named Rizpah, daughter of Aiah. And Ish-bosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" Now, whether or not this is true, no one knows, or I can't see it. It was a question, an accusation. I'm not sure if that in fact happened or it didn't happen. But let's continue. Abner was very angry because of what Ish-bosheth said. So he answered, "Am I a dog's head on Judah's side? This very day, I am loyal to the house of your father Saul and his family and friends. I haven't handed you over to David, yet now you accuse me of an offense involving this woman." Now, you see that he didn't say, "I didn't sleep with her." He just said, "How dare you? You know, why did you accuse me of this? You know, have I gone to the house of David?" He didn't say, "Oh, I did not sleep with her." So no one knows whether or not he did it. And at this point in time, it was a very serious offense to sleep with a king's concubine, even after the king had passed. Because the concubines then, thank God for humanity now, the concubines then will pass over to the incoming king after the other king has died. So I continue. This is verses 9. "May God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath, and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and establish David's throne over Israel and Judah from Dan to Beersheba." Ish-bosheth did not dare to say another word to Abner because he was afraid of him. He was afraid of him. And so here we see a series of events beginning to start, you know, that led David to become the king of the entire Israel, which was what God had appointed him and anointed him to do 8 years ago. But then Saul was there, and then after Saul had died, his son took up the throne, etc. And if you look at where David was coming from, David went through hell. David went through Saul trying to kill him a couple of times, going to live in the wilderness in the bush for a long time, becoming an area boy. You know, he went to go and stay with the Philistines and hopefully fight with them. And then after all, even when Saul had died, 7 years after, he was still here, not being king of Israel, despite God had anointed him to become king of Israel. And this journey of David between the time where he got anointed to the time where he got appointed was of Israel was well over almost 2 decades, or maybe even more, right? And at this point in time, just think about 20 years, or maybe close to 20 years, he had been waiting and preparing and, you know, hoping that this word of God will come to pass as God has said to him, and God had, you know, anointed him to do so. And he's still here, even after Saul had died. And at this point, you wonder, God, did you really say, you know, I know someone anointed me. Was it a mistake? Was it an error? Because at this point, in 20 years, doubts may come from wonder, like, but God, you know, why am I still here? Why am I still in this place? You have even removed Saul. Saul has died, yet I'm still not the king of Israel. I'm king of, you know, Hebron and perhaps Judah at this point in time. But I'm not king of Israel. I'm still not king of Israel. And I've done everything, you know. I have been, there's always a constant battle between my house and house of Saul. Even after Saul had died, like, we are still in this. And it can be very frustrating. And even at this point, probably even near impossible, because wondering, after everything, it is so difficult. And he went through a difficult journey. It wasn't, oh, hey, you know, Saul died calmly. He was okay. He was battling back and forth. Every day battle. Kenny, on top of this king of Israel. And at this point, probably very tired of, but waiting, you know, on God. But again, yet trusting him through and through. And so, suddenly, the thing that looked perhaps almost impossible literally switches. Literally, there are a series of events we will learn this week of how David became king of Israel. In many cases, he didn't need to do much. Like, Abner went to him, decided to make him king of Israel. Why did Abner go to Saul, to David? Simple, because Ish-bosheth accused him of sleeping with his wife concubine. It's such a flimsy reason, a flimsy excuse for his heart to turn like that, despite how Abner made Ish-bosheth the king of Israel. He had pushed and strengthened himself in the house of Saul. He had done so much that you would think that for him to leave Saul's house, it must be something drastic, but it was such a flimsy excuse or flimsy reason, sorry. And literally, it set a series of events that made David king of Israel. And you see, God can change things in a split second. Just literally, like here, like, why would you think that an accusation like that would change Abner's mind and literally push and insist and push to get David on the throne? How? And in fact, he said in verses 9 of chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, he says, may God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and establish David over Israel. He even said, you know, I'm not going to work for God because what you said. And it's such a flimsy thing. And I'll say right now that it's because it was the appointed time. And literally a series of events so simple literally led David to become the king of Israel. Just like that. We will discuss more this week. Well, it just goes to show me and you that God is not slow. No, he's not slow. He's patient with us. And I want to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. about this point, and I'm going to read the NIV version. And he says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. So i.e. like David here, God, yes, it sounds like 20 years or close to 20 years, but God is not slow in keeping his word. And you know, sometimes think, oh, maybe like David's thought, well, I'm not king of Hebron, Judah. Maybe this is what God was trying to tell me. No, that was not God. What God told you, you'll be king of over Israel, not over one clan in Israel. And so he may think, oh, maybe this is what God's word coming to pass. At least I've gotten somewhere. But God's word still must come to pass. Let's continue. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with me and you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance. This is obviously highlighting Jesus' return. But even here, it just shows to you that God is not slow. No. When God wants to, when the appointed time comes, it's going to be like this in many cases. Just one event can trigger things, can lead us to where God is taking us to. But you see, God wants us to continue to do the work, to ready ourselves. All these 17, 18, 20 years David was doing this, he was readying himself to become that king of Israel, that Israel needed, you know, as a king. So God is not slow. And I don't know whatever situation you are going through, whatever you think, oh my God, God is slow, God is late, you know, it's not happening, I've waited for years. Well, they waited for almost 20 years. After, so God had already anointed him. He knew he was anointed to become king of Israel. Yet, 7 days after, that's when it happened. I don't know how long you've been waiting for. Maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it's 15. Maybe it's even more than 17 years. But I want you to understand and remember one thing, that God is not slow. God is readying you and me. And he's preparing us for that throne that he's giving to you and me. And he's making sure that we are ready for the joy, so that when we get there, we are able to maintain the position, align ourselves, and do what he has called us to do. And you know, one thing is important when we are in that throne God has put us in, submission to God, because he's going to lead him through me and you. And if you're not submitted or not submitted to God, how will he lead through us? We cannot change our mind like Saul decided to just do as he pleased. But he wants us to be ready so he can lead through us. And I ask you today, have you submitted to God? Have you submitted to God? These are things you learn on the journey to the throne. You see, David went through a whole lot. But you see, you could see David's heart that came through. David was submitted to God. And he came more and more submitted to God. Even in his mistakes and his errors, he was still submitted to God. And God even helped him through even when he made mistakes. But that throne came at the appointed time. So thank you for listening to me today. I pray this encourages you to know that God is not slow. No, he's was patient for me and you to get into the understanding, the alignment that we need for the throne that he has anointed us to sit on. Thank you for listening to me today. God bless you. I love you. I love you. Bye. Bye.